As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number five, the Power Hour of the G-Bag Nation, and we have some Maverick news to tell you about. Now, it's not the most move-the-needle type of trade here, but they're on the board, all right? They're making some moves. We'll get to that in a moment. We'll recap everything that happened with your Texas Rangers today. And, what is the strangest way you've ever been fired? And was it golf-related? All that and more, plus your Stars news, Wolchuk, Chiafalo, Broadus, Lucius Alexander, and you, Gavin Dawson. Man, he's already got like 1 foot out the door, ready for vacation. By the way, we'll be tomorrow out of the Comerica backyard getting you set for Rangers, Tigers, Rangers back home at the Globe. We're excited for that. So if you're coming out to the game tomorrow night, make sure you come on out and see us. Comerica backyard, 200 level center field. But here we go. Here is your latest Dallas Maverick trade as the Mavericks have landed Santi Aldama, a power forward, 7-footer, who was most recently with the Memphis Grizzlies, and they are moving on with draft capital in this move, which is a little bit strange. I don't know exactly what their thinking is here, but averaged 14-7 last year with Memphis, played half the season coming off an injury, but a versatile stretch four who I guess the Mavericks at 7 feet tall. I mean, we've talked about them moving on from Daniel Gafford. Can't say I'm super familiar with this individual's game, but I guess we ought to trust the vision.
Yeah, I mean, he's had some big games versus the Mavs over the last couple of years, a couple of 20-point games and some big rebounding games. So this is interesting. I mean, you get a power forward, you get some more size, which is what Dusty May was running with Michigan last year. But
and a good shooter.
He was talking about how he wants to get out and be a high-paced team this year. I'm trying to figure out exactly.
Okay, so another words?
The pick that the
you're
pick,
looking for words.
Well, the pick they give up is top 20 protected.
No, it is protected 1-20. Then it turns into a second if not conveyed, says Shams. So the Warriors pick in 2030 is protected. Your point 1-20. The Mavericks also acquire, and thank you to Alec Medford for sending this my way, the draft rights to Tarek Bibarovich, who I guess was just selected in by Memphis. So they're going to get him, but the deal allows the Grizzlies to preserve its full $29 million trade exception from the Jaren Jackson Jr. trade, and the Mavericks are getting Aldama, plus they're giving away A.J. Johnson, that protected 2030 Warriors first-round pick and two future twos in the deal. So they must like this guy. He's obviously a player that they covet.
Yeah, and this other guy that you mentioned, Tarek Bibarovich, he's a scorer for sure. He's a three-point bucket.
All right.
So we'll have to get more familiar with both of these guys' games, but not something I was expecting here. I thought the Mavericks were really going to want to hang on tight to their draft picks in any possible way, but they get another 7-footer. Now he plays power forward, so I don't know. They're kind of stockpiling in there. We'll see if Gafford is still on his way out.
PJ Washington probably.
PJ Washington.
Yeah, they're going to move.
Yeah. I mean, they clearly like him. I just got to get more familiar with this fella.
Hey, maybe it ends up being a sneaky, brilliant move, and Masai Ujiri and Mike Schmitz are cooking with this one. But there's your latest. And if you miss it, Celtics also making a crazy trade, sending Jaylen Brown to the Sixers for Paul George, 2 ones and 2 twos, making a direct rival in the conference and in their division even better. I mean, now you've got on paper Paul George with Boston, but you're now sending Jaylen Brown to play with Joel Embiid, VJ Edgecombe, and Tyrese Maxey. That's pretty nasty for the Sixers. Now, I know you've constantly got injury questions when it comes to Joel Embiid, but at least on paper, they're probably the best team in the East now.
Yeah, I mean, you could make the argument, I think, that with the East being the way it is, the East is getting stronger and stronger by the day. The Celtics look... I can't stomach the idea. First of all, the Sixers just beat you in the playoffs. As you mentioned, they're in your division. Mm. And now you're just conceding the fact that they are going to continue to be better than you. You're banking on Paul George. I feel like Paul George, if we were doing the top 5 to 10 worst contracts in the NBA right now, Paul George's name would come up very quickly, as they're going to owe him over $100 million over the next 2 seasons. And he's at like 36, 37 years old. He's always injured. How many times has Paul George played 60 or more games since 2019?
Yeah.
Once.
Mm-hmm.
I can't for the life of me understand what Boston is doing here.
I don't know either. You'd have thought, and especially if I'm going to move Jaylen Brown, I'm trying to get him out of the conference, but they kept him in there. All right, there's your Maverick news. How about it? Let's shake it up. Let's go ahead and hit a mixed bag, if you will, right now.
You want a chocolate? Mama.
Mama. Leave the gut.
Mama.
Take the cannoli.
Mama always said life was like a box of chocolates.
How do they get them back?
Just throw it in a bag.
You never know what you're going to get.
All right, happy Bobby Bonilla Day, as the Mets will send their former Major League Baseball All-Star more than $1 million today every year, getting $1.19 million on July 1st. Cha-ching! Been getting that since 2011. That's going to continue through 2035, as Bobby Bonilla is 61 now. He's going to be 72 when this ends, as he signed that 5-year contract for $29 million in 1991. At the time, the richest contract in team sports. I think this has actually aged pretty well for the Mets. Bobby was doing the math in crosstalk earlier, and they would have been paying like double this if they didn't end up, you know, expediting how this ends up working. And I guess eventually, like Ohtani and some of these other contracts that Major League Baseball is putting together here, maybe we'll have other players. It's Ohtani Day. It's name the guy, you know. But if they end up getting this no more than 5-year deals that end up happening instead of these 10-year, $350 million, $500 million contracts, maybe we don't end up getting some of those. But there is Bobby Bonilla Day. Rangers fall today. They snapped the 6-game win streak. Big news, Corey Seager back on the IL. Here was Seags yesterday on Rangers Sports Network when all of a sudden he's third in the order. He's supposed to be starting at shortstop, and we're watching the game. We're listening to it here on 105 Through the Fan, your home of Texas Rangers baseball. And what, Cam Collie stepping into the box. What happened, Corey?
Corey, we just talked to Skip. It sounds like this was a really last-minute kind of situation. When did you first notice that your back was tightening up?
During warm-ups. So hopefully it's just a flare-up and you didn't go out and push it and do anything stupid during the game. So hopefully feel better tomorrow and kind of go from there. But gotta see how you wake up tomorrow.
What was that last-minute dialogue like between you, Skip, and Matt Lucero?
Just to try and not be dumb, you know, like there's no point in that moment once it's already kind of bothering you a little bit to try and push it and make it worse, and hopefully you can kind of catch it early.
But you had done like agility stuff and warm-up stuff prior to that, right? It was like when you went back out on the field right before the game.
Yeah, it was right before the game. Yeah.
Okay. But
yeah.
You had already been through some of that stuff already with no issues.
Yeah, I had no problems throughout the day. Yeah, yeah.
I know you've talked about how frustrating this is, but when you came back, they've taken steps to try and make sure, right? Like, just not from the concussion, but also make sure that the hamstrings are maintenance-wise in the back. How frustrating for you to, like, get ready to – well, you got your elbow guard on. How frustrating for you to, like, have to say there's something going on?
Yeah, it's been a tough month, that's for sure. So yeah, it obviously wasn't great.
Corey, did you do anything different today with your routine? I know the team got here a little bit later than usual, but I know you follow your own routine.
Yeah, no, I got here at normal time, and I had a normal day until the very end, yeah.
Well, there's Seags, and I mean, nothing wrong during the day. All of a sudden, just flares up on him, and now he's on the IL, 10-day IL. Josh Smith called up. Josh Smith also just looks like a broken player right now. Smitty does not look like he is comfortable.
Tough to see him out there in the outfield.
Man. So, you know, we'll see what the team wants to do with Corey Seager moving forward. Maybe he does end up having back surgery, or, you know, just shut him down until he's healthy is kind of the way I'm looking at this. I love the way they're playing right now. I know they take the L today, but you get down 5-0. Mackenzie Gore didn't have a great start today. And they claw their way back. It's 5-3, unfortunately. Cole Wynn goes out for his second inning and gets shellacked a little bit. And then Winston Santos makes his debut. It doesn't go well for him. Your bullpen was totally taxed. And, hey, you got Lats a day off. You got Junis a day off. So you come back, and hopefully your bullpen's in a better position to start the series tomorrow back at home against Detroit. But the way that these guys, whether it's, you know, Ezekiel Duran, who was brilliant again today, Josh Young, Jock Peterson are back swinging the bat well. Cam Collie has given you a little bit of something. Nicky Lopez has been a hell of a find. Elias Diaz just hit a homer today, his first as a Texas Ranger. You know, this team's got some scrappiness, and there is something about the last year that Skip Schumacher managed when he was NL Manager of the Year. That Marlins team really took off in the second half of the season. So I think there is room for Rangers optimism here, but the Corey Seager conundrum is certainly – I think it's time to move on if you can. And I don't know if this is the year to do it, because I don't know if he can pass a physical and how healthy he is. But I'm kind of ready to go young with this group.
Yeah, I understand your thoughts on that. And when you're dealing with a back issue like this for a guy who's over 30 years old, that could go sideways on you. I think it would be very difficult to move him at this point, like at this trade deadline with the season that he's had. It's not even like, yeah, but when he's been playing, he's been lights out Corey Seager. He hasn't been himself even when he's been healthy, but he's missed so much time. And to invest with a contract that's still pretty large over the next 5 years.
It's large and in charge. You're probably going to have to eat some of that.
You're going to have to eat some of that for sure. Or you're going to get something of a disaster contract coming back to you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it'd be like you got to find somebody else with a bad contract, like Marcus Semien and Brandon Nimmo. You know, you're offsetting there. And I didn't think they'd be able to move Semien. So
I didn't either.
Maybe there's a contending team. You know, I mentioned the Yankees are always kind of sniffing around at players like this. If you are, you know what Corey Seager can do for you in the playoffs. So when he's on, he's still one of the best hitters in all of Major League Baseball. Jared was giving some of the, you know, the advanced metrics today coming into the season. He was like the ninth best hitter in all of Major League Baseball for the last 5 years. But you're right. This year, if you're just looking at this sample size, you're trading for hope. Like, is he going to get back to that guy? You haven't really seen it yet. But hope the best for Seager, man. He's still our World Series hero. And I'd love to see him continue to have a tremendous career as a Texas Ranger. But right now, I get it. If you're a Rangers fan and you're like, I'd like to see them try and trade him, if there's something to be had, I get that way of thinking. And I'm kind of there right now as well. Bad day for the Dallas Stars, as they had a trade worked out to get a top five defenseman in Zach Werenski from the Columbus Blue Jackets. And they were going to send Thomas Harley in exchange for Werenski. Well, he vetoed the trade. And we just had a statement from him and their general manager. And here was Zach Werenski's statement. Don and I, who is the GM in Columbus, had very open and honest dialogue since the season ended. Ideally, this wouldn't have become such a public thing, but that is the world we live in now. And everything got blown out of proportion, in my opinion. I want to win, and I want to do that in Columbus. As I've thought about things and discussed everything with my wife and family, we want to be in Columbus. And it's been my home for the past 10 years, and I've always been proud to be a Blue Jacket. We have the best fans in the NHL, and I love my teammates and coaches, and I'm looking forward to doing everything I can to get us back in the playoffs to compete for a cup. Don and I are completely aligned on that and are expected and excited about what's to come with our team. So I guess he decides he wants to stay home, and the Stars are just, as Leah Simakopoulos, who will join us tomorrow, stated, collateral damage. And now they've got a player in Thomas Harley whose name's been in the news, and you were agreeing to trade him to Columbus, and he's got to step back into a Dallas Stars facility that's like, well, hey, guys, do you want me?
Suck it up. You're a pro.
You want me around? Come on. They did give him a nice fat contract last year.
Suck it up. You're a pro. You know, it's part of the business. Your name's going to get floated out there. It's, you know, and – hey, be honored that that you were going to get traded for really a really good player. You weren't getting traded for a bag of pucks
and
some sticks and stuff like that. So, you know, hey, suck it up and do what you have to do. And listen, just like I say, take with you that you were going to get traded for a pretty damn good player.
Here's something to get excited about, though, possibly Stars fans. And they did also trade Maverick Bourque to Nashville. They get a second and a third for him. Leah Bushkin going back in that deal, too. That frees up a little bit of cap space. And I think the Stars could meet Jason Robertson with what he wants. And I feel like the momentum has swung into Robo's going to stay in Dallas. They're going to end up getting him that contract. And none of that has been official. Jim Neal spoke to the media earlier and said there was no new news to mention regarding Robertson. This is developing. He's been trying. He's put together some nice packages. He had a trade for Robo to send him to Seattle. You were getting the 7th pick back. You had a back-end deal done then with Toronto to give them the 7th. You had Matthew Nice, who's a good 24 young winger as well. Add some grit and physicality to help you out. That one fell apart. So Jim Nail's been working his ass off behind the scenes and put together some deals that I think would have helped improve this team. But right now he's looking around like, well, damn it. I just lost Alexander Petrovic, one of my stud defensemen, not studs, but good defensive player, to Florida. I had to trade Maverick Bork. I had a deal for Robo. That fell through. I had a deal for Harley. That fell through. So now it's like, what am I doing? Let's go to Puckpedia, though. And they had on Emily Kaplan. Emily Kaplan, a couple of stars in the sport, being future Dallas Stars.
You know, if Connor McDavid or Austin Matthews ever decide that they want to leave their markets, Dallas is a team that I'm hearing like would interest those type of guys. So
you mentioned two of the biggest marquee names in the NHL and Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews. The whole Edmonton situation with Mike Babcock is a little interesting. But then also Toronto, they didn't make the playoffs this year. They just overhauled their entire management group and head coach. Do you see either of those guys wanting to request a trade at some point this offseason? Or do you think they're going to go into next season, give training camp, you know, and the season to try and then maybe figure it out in the offseason next year? Because they both don't have that much time left on their deals.
I believe we're past the point for this offseason for Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews to want out. They're both represented by Judd Moldaver, who tells both of them to constantly reevaluate things in short-term increments. But it was so apparent that Connor McDavid was not only consulted, but behind the hiring of coach Mike Babcock. And for him to jump ship now would be a massive swerve. Like, there would have to be something significantly different that happens in Edmonton, and I don't even know what that would be that would make him change his mind over the next couple months before the season starts. And then with Austin, it just feels like he hasn't been consulted in terms of he doesn't get a voice in their decisions, but he's definitely been active in those conversations with the new management of this is who we're thinking of hiring for a coach. This is some of the free agents we're thinking of signing, and it does sound like he is on board. The fact that he did a draft message welcoming Gavin McKenna on draft night, I would not discount that at all as significant.
Yeah, those two guys, they seem locked in this year with both Edmonton and Toronto. Toronto, they just went ahead and signed Sergei Bobrovsky today as well, the Stanley Cup winning goalie with the Florida Panthers. Maybe if Gavin McKenna can be as good as they're envisioning he can and be good quickly, Toronto could end up being better than Austin Matthews is thinking. But one of those guys, either of them, if they can become available, especially Connor McDavid with the connection with Glenn Gullitzson, I think the Stars would have a very good chance.
Well, that's good, too. And then McDavid has played so many games, too, playoff games. He's seen the atmosphere, you know, against the Stars.
Yeah.
He kind of gets a, man, there's like, hey, there's just
good crowd,
true hockey fans here, nice place to live. You know, I mean, I to me, that just seems like a real positive, like, I think all those games that he played in playoff situations, you know, has to get his attention for sure.
All right, so Santi Aldama is your newest Dallas Maverick. We get you updated on the star stuff. What do you got?
I'm gonna admit it's YouTube scouting.
Oh, you watching him?
I watched this guy while you guys were kind of breaking some things down. It was like YouTube scouting.
Yeah.
And I'll say this.
What are we getting, Broadus? What are we getting? Floor spacer?
I'm interested. No. I'm interested. This guy's kind of got like an old man YMCA game to him. You know what I'm saying?
He's on the Spanish team.
But like I say, very depth with the ball handling stuff, the passing, kind of being in position. He had a couple of long range shots. You know, Memphis was he was running the floor. They get him the ball. He knocks down another shot. He's around the rim. He kind of rolls inside. They throw him the ball. He's got this teardrop floater touch to his game. I mean, he had a lot of really it's YouTube scouting, okay? I get it. I'm not acting like I'm watching the Memphis Grizzlies play every night. But if you go and just search his highlights, they got a whole, like, a 25-minute package of him and all these plays. And like I say, he's got this kind of vibe where it's just kind of like it's when you watch a European basketball player play,
right,
where he gets the ball and he's got the steps and he's able to kind of dish it off or take it or fake a pass and then put it the other way. I was kind of thinking like, okay, we just got this big stiff guy that can't do anything, but he's a lot more athletic than I even thought he was going to be.
Yeah. I'm seeing that as well. A little bit more wiggle than you think because he's 7 foot.
Same with the old man, like the old man YMCA game, 100%. Where you're trying to fake and you're kind of moving, but you're not really looking really totally athletic doing it, but you're effective doing it because you're getting towards the basket.
Him and their draft pick, Sergio De La Rea, have both played together as well. So you got two guys, and they'll probably play together, hopefully.
De La Rea, he's new, right?
We'll probably get to see him in summer league coming up here. Isaac Harris said another smart move from the Mavs, taking advantage over a roster jam in Memphis. They basically trade a heavily protected Warriors pick to absorb Aldama into the trade exception from AD.
Aldama, huh?
25-year-old, can shoot, size, and under contract for a decent number. Also, get the draft rights for Bobarevich.
I just like say defense plus hands looks tough. Good passer. Knock down the long-range shot, nifty, floater. I was just writing down all these notes, on my paper.
And stockpiling some seven-footers with the Gafford situation. Is he going to be out the door? You can't trust Derek Lively at all. Like, as much as we love to talk about the idea of Morris Johnson and Cooper and Lively, you can't trust Lively. And then you got the Musa Cisse situation where he's a restricted free agent. They got the tender on him, but we'll see if another team nabs him up. So a floor stretcher who's 7 feet tall, averaging 14.7 boards. And like you said, Walchuk, only 25 years old, so room to grow here. I can get on board. And with that pick being so protected, like I didn't realize that was a top 20 protected pick that they ended up giving out. So that's great news, too.
Yeah, hopefully this ends up being, they ended up finding a little diamond in the rough here that maybe we weren't super familiar with, but we are now. All right, coming up on the other side, hodgepodge.
Yeah, I mean, we might need to just make it a rim session because it's been a wild day in the association. We break it down for you next year.
Hey, guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
In the nation. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome into the G-Bag Nation. We got ourselves a crazy day in the world of the NBA. The Mavs just got in the mix on that. We'll reset that for you, plus the big trade in the Eastern Conference and some LeBron news. Segment in the Nation brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one has been hurt in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214-333-3333. All right, let's go ahead and cut the lights out. We'll put the kids to bed, and the G-Bag Nation goes all 56 inches around that rim. Always a special occasion when the Mavericks get in the mix when it comes to NBA trades and free agency, and it is also a very special occasion when a big-time team can take on one of the single worst contracts in all of basketball. That is what the Celtics did when they traded away Jaylen Brown to the Philadelphia 76ers, the same Sixers who are in their division, the same Sixers who just beat the Celtics in the playoffs and ended their season in disastrous fashion. That is where Jaylen Brown is now headed, to team up with the local legend Tyrese Maxey and the often injured but superstar big man Joel Embiid, plus Edgecombe. I mean, they're stacking it up there with a lot of guys who need the ball in their hands, tell you that much.
Yeah.
But the Celtics trading away Jaylen Brown, this is all because they flirted with the idea. Like, does this happen if they don't flirt with the Giannis trade? If they don't start flirting with that and throwing Brown's name out there, do they feel like they're forced to move on from Brown like they just did? I don't think so.
I was just talking to people in the league. They said that there was really some problems up there with him. That they were floating his name because they were wanting to really move on from him. I know that they're president of basketball operations guy came out. Brad Stevens came out and was like, oh, no, man, we know I have daily conversations and all that. But there were people saying, no, because that whole thing went down. Remember, I was trying to run down whether he was going to get traded to the Mavs.
Mm-hmm.
And then the answers that I got every time was, man, Boston has a problem with this guy. So there was a willingness to move on from him. This wasn't one of those things where they're like, they were actively searching for somebody to trade him to. So this wasn't something that was just, oh, well, you know, we're just going to make a deal here or we're not going to make a deal, you know, and kind of figure things out.
You just have to know. I mean, like, what are you getting in Paul George right now? What is, I would love to know from
that's
the Celtics standpoint.
That's how bad it is. That's how bad for you.
That
to,
is just a salary dump there.
Yeah.
For the Sixers.
Yeah.
It's one of the worst contracts in basketball.
Yeah.
It's a bad one. 100%.
He's played 60 games one time since 2019.
Yeah, and the Celtics know that. And they know that.
Yeah, I mean, I think they clearly, there was.
That's how bad they wanted to get rid of
Brown.
Yeah,
they did. It seemed like that was a divorce.
That's the best offer you could get in your division with the, versus the team that just beat you?
Yeah.
For Paul George?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a good move for Boston, but I guess time will tell.
The Boston crash outs are have to be endless right now. Bill Simmons, where are you?
You go from maybe getting Giannis to, all right, we're settling for Paul George. 2 ones and 2 twos.
Shams is saying this, quote, around the league, my phone is being flooded with people texting me, Paul George and picks?
Mm.
Once it was out there, Jaylen Brown was available for trade. You saw his value for whatever reason start to diminish.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
And so
there must be, I think there might be some things that Boston says or leaks out about him.
We'll get the hit piece.
Yeah, you're going to get a hit piece here. Get ready for that. But it just sounded like to me that for them to take what they did is just a willingness to like, okay, whatever.
We got to get out of here.
We got to get out of this.
So in totality, you have the Sixers getting Jaylen Brown, the Celtics getting Paul George, 2 first-round picks and 2 second-round picks.
Yeah.
That's what they did here.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't understand it. It is funny because we know that Jaylen Brown is quite the internet streamer, and people are digging up the clip from recently where he was calling Joel Embiid an all-time flopper. So now they get to be teammates together. I hope that works out for him. You have just in the last 10 days, Giannis, LaMelo Ball, John Morant, Kawhi Leonard, Jaylen Brown. I mean, these are the types of trades that we've seen. This NBA offseason's been nuts.
Aldama?
yeah. You can't forget about Santi Aldama, who is your newest Dallas Maverick.
I'm gonna get
the Mavericks,
I think.
Focusing on trades, according to Mark Stein, using their $20.3 million trade exception that was generated by trading Anthony Davis to Washington in February. That's what they used to acquire Santi Aldama from Memphis. So that's what they end up getting in return, basically, for Anthony Davis. And as we talked about, we just got the YouTube scouting report there from Broadus. This is a 7-footer. He's only 25 years old. He's got a decent enough 3-ball to keep you honest and stretch the floor. Seems like an underrated passer.
50,
he can
nimble.
Rebound.
Oh, yeah. He can.
Savage.
Yeah, there's he blocks
future
shots.
Champion.
Yeah. I
potential
YouTube
rebounder
scouting,
of the year.
If you want to, YouTube scout yourself, too, because you'll come away at that 20 minutes you watch, you'll be going like, all right, this guy can
35% shooter from three.
Guy can do some decent things for you.
Yeah, and it's always
professional basketball in Spain. You got to like that, right?
Yeah, and you know,
experience, dude.
Schmitz and Ujiri, they love the overseas players. They've probably been scouting this guy out for the last decade or so, watching him come up as a teenager.
Maybe they were watching De La Rea. They're like, holy crap, who's this guy?
Yeah, who is this guy? So that is your newest Maverick. What does that mean for the rest of the bigs on this team? He's a 7-footer, though he's listed as a power forward. But with the Lively issues and Gafford potentially being traded, I guess they want to make sure they have enough insurance there on the inside. We'll see what happens with Moussa Cisse. They gave him the tender as a restricted free agent, but other teams can start to bid on him. So making sure they have enough bigs there to go around. But this is a guy that missed most of the season last year because he was having a knee issue. Aldama was. So it's fun to watch and see how Dusty May and company are attacking this thing. And when you identify a guy like that, you clearly are going out and saying, okay, we want him. They must think very, very highly of him. And at 25 years old, and you get to play with Cooper Flagg, like he'll be surrounded by probably the best teammates he's had in the league. So hopefully get him going a little bit more. But that's what the Mavs are up to right now. It looks like the Marcus Sasser thing is going to all come to fruition as well. So you'll get Sasser in the building. And we'll just have to see who gets moved here. It's Klay Thompson being moved,
PJ.
Gafford being moved, PJ being moved. Plenty still to happen over the course of the next week or so when it comes to the NBA. Now, other things that has gone down today, the Lakers just they pushed all in. They flipped all their levers from an asset standpoint and tried to get Luka a championship-level supporting cast here. But their offseason is now wrapped up. They have no more room for any other moves. LeBron James leaves LA. They build around Luka, and they do so by trading a bunch of picks to Utah for Walker Kessler, big man, true center, seven-footer, guy is a rebounding machine, rim protector, doesn't have a ton of offensive game, but Luka will get the most out of him with the lobs and things like that. He's just another guy that hasn't been able to really stay healthy. They get another big man from Toronto who will probably be a backup for them, Quentin Grimes. We know him well, Colin Sexton. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing to try and keep Luka happy, and we'll see if it pays off for him. I think this is – I do think they will be better than they were last year, but keeping Kessler healthy is going to be huge, and the pressure's on. Like, this is the all-in move for Pelinka and the Lakers to keep Luka.
I can't wait for Luka to come back home.
2028, we'll see you back in the Big D, Luka. We look forward to it.
Let's go.
Looks like LeBron James has had discussions about filming this entire upcoming season for a documentary.
Okay, well, this is it then, right? This is how he's going out.
This is the farewell tour, the thing that he was very adamant about not wanting the farewell tour.
That's the biggest lie ever told.
We're gonna get a documentary on his final season, wherever that ends up being. Is it Cleveland, back home, storybook? Is it Golden State, Olden State, Golfin State?
Is it filthy?
Is it? I don't think it's going to be filthy, but maybe.
Why don't you think that?
I don't know financially where they're
maybe
at.
They
even
can't.
Though it's happiness and not money. But you can't have happiness and go live in Philadelphia.
No, and are the golf courses good and filthy, Brian?
No, I can't imagine.
I tell you, they got a couple of them there.
Oh, do they really?
Dang it!
That East Coast has got some historical golf.
The doors back open then. So you have Cleveland, you have Golden State, you have Miami. We know that. But then today, the Denver Nuggets.
Oh,
or the team that's being thrown
with Jokic.
Out, where Denver is now one of the teams that is, according to Wendy, he long believed that Denver was going to be an outlier team for LeBron, and now Denver is apparently pushing their chips in to try and recruit him over to Denver. And Jokic, I mean, Wendy was talking about how LeBron treated Jokic this year and how he really went out of his way to show him love and respect, and after games having some interactions. So maybe there's enough respect for LeBron there to relocate to Denver. I think that would be pretty interesting. I mean, LeBron, Murray, and Jokic, I mean, that might be pretty fun there. I don't know how much he will really consider it because it's all been about Cleveland, Golden State, or Miami at this point. But apparently he's going to take his time. Take his sweet time.
I bet.
And wait this out.
He wants
out.
To be courted a little. He's got some Aaron Rodgers in him.
Oh, absolutely he does. He wants to there's no reason to rush it for him. And I do love what he did with the Bronny stuff.
Just let Bronny get that $2.3 million or whatever it was.
Wait till he gets that
get that guaranteed and then I'm out of here.
Bronny's money becomes guaranteed the next day LeBron wakes up and decides, yeah, LA's not for me. That's a great dad move right there.
Mm-hmm.
I love what he's doing.
Good for you, son. You're a millionaire.
All right, Crosstalk with the Fan After Dark next right here.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanses and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Here in the nation. All right, let's Crosstalk with the Fan After Dark here as we get our bodies prepped for Team USA.
Yeah.
What are you hoping for here, Broadus? You were just saying something about the kits. You have a specific jersey combination that you're looking for.
I'm very hopeful that we're wearing the kits tonight that have – we wore all blue in the match against Turkey. I'm hoping that we wear the kits that have the – like the American flag, like the stripes, the red and white striped jerseys. That's what I'm hopeful for tonight. I would like to think – I think our manager's a little superstitious.
Oh, what are we seeing here?
No, those are practice. That's practice gear right there. That's practice. I think we're practicing right now in these shirts. That's what we're doing.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to it for sure. You'll have Fred and Blake from 7 to 11 tonight soaking in all of the Team USA glory. Fred Davis.
We need Fred to sit. Fred, sit. Can you sit?
Welcome to the party.
No, I want you guys all to see USA 250.
Well, that's
right
the problem. They can't see it, I think. I think you're too high for Austin over there. He's like, hey, can you get Fred to sit down? I can't adjust it. He's upset. Now I'm upset. Now the listeners are upset because they can see you because they're listening to you on the radio.
USA 250 looks good on a barrel chest.
That chest is looking.
Let's go.
Oh, dude. Did you hit
Push-up day?
Today?
Little push-up day?
It was chest day today.
Yes, it was.
Chest day today.
I can tell.
It was chest day today.
It was chest day for me, too.
That's right. Well, every day is chest day for you, isn't it?
Damn right.
Breast day.
He's McGuffey's, baby.
Are you going to Sidecar Social after this?
Yeah, I am.
You?
I'm going to stop by.
No.
We know you're not.
I'd love to do that, yeah.
I need to scan the menu and see what's in store, because I'm pretty dang hungry. Tell you that much.
I'm excited. You guys going to call in after the show? Maybe give us an intermission update?
Possibly. We'll see.
I mean, we'll do a kind of a impromptu Fatty's on the phone since you guys are going to be out there. And plus, we want to know what the vibes are like, too.
Yeah, the vibes are going to be immaculate.
I mean, they need to be, right? I mean, if Sweet Willie C's out there, what are we expecting? Is he not driving, is he?
Oh, no, he probably Ubered.
Okay.
Who
do we think is going to get the sloppiest tonight?
If Bobby's there, it would be Bobby.
Is Bobby going to be there?
No. I don't think
What's the head count? What do we know?
I have no idea.
A lot of producers are going to be there, too.
Yeah.
Khaki Kev, for sure. Jake Bray.
He won't be drunk.
It'll be a bunch of the young bucks.
I got a
bucks.
Podcast after this, and then I got to go take care of my dad.
It's probably Will Chambers.
But he's a veteran, though.
No, it's not that he can't hold his own. It's just that his BAC is going to be higher than everyone else's.
He's been there for like 45 minutes already.
he's going to be hammered when we walk in.
Unless you figure, he's been pre-gaming. I mean, he probably. What do we think it was his drink of choice on the way to Sidecar Social?
Oh, some type of bourbon.
Yeah.
I don't know which.
A man knows
bourbon.
His bourbon now.
He knows his bourbon.
Yeah.
What's he better at, bourbon or golf?
I'd say bourbon.
Bourbon.
Okay.
Bourbon. I haven't seen him play golf.
Never
though.
Seen him.
No, he's good at golf.
I was going to say, I've heard he's.
No, he's good at golf.
I've heard he's good. I just haven't seen it with my own eyes.
Quite the stick. I guess that's what
he's
they
got
call
a pole,
it.
Huh? Does he have the four-finger grip?
You're talking about.
On the shaft?
Guy. I'm not a golfer. I only have clubs.
So what do you got on the run sheet for
What happened
tonight?
To Blake? Why are you the only one in here?
Blake's here.
Blake's salty. I think he's mad about the Santi trade and.
If you watch the YouTube highlights, Fred, he looks okay.
I think he's got some Mavs hate in his heart.
Well,
YouTube Brian's on it, man.
Well, I watched it for 20 minutes. I'm kind of like, man, he kind of
who's sold.
MVP of the 2019 FIBA Under-19 Championship. So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Yeah.
This means somebody's got to get traded, right? I think this is your Derek Lively insurance.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because Gafford's out the door from anybody that you've talked to.
Well, I think that confirms it, because when you heard, and of course I know you guys heard the audio from Derek Lively over the weekend.
Yeah, that looks bleak.
Was that as alarming to you as it was to me?
It's very alarming, and it sucks because I love Lively. He's my favorite man.
At one point in the last 5 years, I believe Wolchuk said, no, I do not want Giannis if it means giving up Derek Lively.
They both played about the same amount of games.
Yeah. I don't know if you can get Giannis's brother for Derek Lively at this point.
He's already
Thanasis?
I don't know.
Oh, you can get Thanasis. Okay, that's a low blow. I won't take that.
Dude, he can't run.
Shh.
He's walking. That's
his
rehab.
He can't jump.
Right now.
He can't.
He's working towards it. Okay,
Lively?
Is the season tomorrow? Does it start tomorrow? Yeah. No, it doesn't. Right? Starts in October.
No, we got time.
Yeah, and it doesn't sound confident that he'll be there. I said the other night on the show, there's no way he starts the season.
Should he just
healthy.
Retire?
Is there an NBA pup list? He'll be on the NBA pup list.
Good question. I'm not sure.
Ineligible the first 6 weeks.
I'm telling you, he is not. Think about it, man. He's a 22, 23 year old, 7'3" guy. With a foot problem, and here's why I don't think the Mavericks are going to get rid of him, because they're probably going to be on the hook if this guy's foot derail or ends his career.
Oh,
well, he's
for the
done
Nico
after this year with the Mavs,
it's the Nico makeshift training staff,
right? I mean, we all heard it, not last year, but the year before.
Yeah, they screwed him.
No, you're right.
I mean,
that's
seriously, this poor guy's career could be in jeopardy right now.
Gosh,
when you think about how bad it is. So, I mean, I don't want to be all doom and gloom, but.
Well, maybe the Mavericks could sign him to like a $50+ million a year deal and then flip him to Boston in a couple of years.
Did you hear what our boy Sam Quinn had to say about the best move for Luka?
Come back to Dallas?
Ride it out for the next 2 years and team up with
Coop.
Damn right.
Because he's got a player option in 2028.
Yeah,
look, you guys are old enough to remember, if LeBron can go back to Cleveland. After the way Dan Gilbert kicked him to the curb.
Yeah. It was much worse.
And Gilbert was still there.
Gilbert
was still there, right? So at least Dumont has cleaned house. There's no more Nico. There's no more Jay Kidd. I mean, in 2 years, for as far-fetched of a scenario as that seemed, I mean, who's worried about this Lakers team?
Now, the Lakers suck, and Rob Pelinka's going to get fired, too.
I don't see how he's still got a job.
I don't either. Well, because he traded for Luka, I guess.
Well.
With the one
no, the NBA. The NBA trade,
yeah.
Luka.
This is an amazing scene as the United States taking the pitch here in San Francisco. Well, really, Santa Clara. Levi Stadium. Mm-hmm. We're about to sing the national anthems, getting ready to play.
Oh, we'll sing this thing. Watch.
Round of 32. Winner moving on to take on Belgium. And that game will be played Monday night in Seattle. I'll be at Kazem for that watch party. Hopefully, the U.S. of A. is a part of it.
We got to be Bosnia, right?
I'm going 3-1. U.S. Okay. Wins.
All right. All right. Who scores? Little Balogun action?
I think Balogun, and I think Pulisic gets two.
Two?
Yeah. I think you've seen a lot of the best players for each team are just getting double goal parties. Harry Kane got two today. Haaland, Mbappe, Messi. I mean, Christian Pulisic, he looked great to me. I thought he looked – I disagreed with you respectfully. I thought he looked good when he came in reserve. But I was also expecting him not to even play.
I was so glad he did.
Instant impact.
I was glad he did. I guess I just thought he looked rusty. But to your point, Trap House Trevor and Black Adam, who are our soccer aficionados here on the night show, they both agreed with you that they thought he looked good. So
well, hopefully he looks good tonight.
Okay, hey.
They're going to need him.
I mean, I thought he just looked rusty.
If he was good, he should have buried that shot, right?
Last I saw Pulisic was him getting nutmegged.
Yeah.
Okay.
He did get nutmegged.
Okay. So,
nutmegged.
Look, I was happy to see him get out there, run in circles, and kick the ball a couple times. Mm-hmm. That's what I was hoping for, and that's what he did.
Those are great circles.
And walk off the pitch.
Circles,
not
and walk
hurt,
off
right?
the pitch.
Absolutely.
100%. Where are we at on Corey Seager?
We're not walking off the pitch there.
Trade or shut down.
They're trying to trade him in.
I just want to take my victory lap because I said a year ago that Corey Seager should be gone, and I got lampooned.
Of course you did.
You're an idiot. You're from Houston. You're pro-ass. Yeah, how's that looking now, people? How's that looking now?
No. Shut up! It's a good call, Vic.
Yeah.
Good call,
looking like some icy hot on the back.
Just saying.
Good call, Fred.
Just saying. But I agree with Gavin. I think there's more there. I think they should
I think Gavin's on to something.
Yeah,
there.
Just put him on the 60-day IL. Let him get really healthy and...
I think they were hoping that they could hold out and extend his trade value.
Yeah, I could see that.
At the very least, keep him available, right? Maybe not, hey, but what? Look, it was one of two things was going to happen. Either he was going to get out of his funk and the body would cooperate, or at the very least, you'd keep him healthy enough to say, all right, look, if somebody wants to take a stab at him, somebody that's a contender, boom, sell him for a bag of donuts and a AAA player to be named later. Mm. But that's not going to happen.
No. But it's all right because we got our new version of the Little Rascals this year. Our guy Cam Colley, kicking ass, taking names. How about Nicky Lopez?
Where are you guys at on Mackenzie Gore?
I'm a little bit nervous.
Ooh. Just questioning the stuff, really.
You think there's maybe a couple more prospects we could send to the Nationals for him?
I don't hate the move. I think that I'm old enough to remember here up until 23, we were like starved for any type of good pitching.
Which I get.
So anytime you're able to try and trade for a talented pitcher, I'm not going to second guess the front office, but he's been underwhelming.
Man.
He really has. But last year, it was a terrible first half, or a great first half, terrible second half. Maybe it's the flip. Maybe he has a great second half this year.
I don't disagree. And Sand said something to you guys the other day about Skip Schumacher and that Miami team from a few years ago. Like, it got better as the year went on. And I think we could all agree this team's gotten better.
They have.
As the year's gone on.
They have. They're scrappy. They're not going down without a fight. All right. Fan After Dark coming up next. Freddie D., Blake Elliott. Until tomorrow, shout out to Eric Chiafalo. Big thank you to Gavin Dawson, Brian Broaddus, Lucius Alexander. Five flawless again, even though, I don't know, was it 3.5? You crushed it, my dude. I love you. All right, we'll be back tomorrow, 2 o'clock, live from the Globe. I'm Zach Wolchuk. Hugs and hand pounds, everybody.
Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.